Hey, what's up? It's your girl, DJ Narc. What is going on? We are doing our first video pod. Smoke it if you got it. Drink something. I rolled myself a cigarette with some loose tobacco. Okay, so let's get to it. Here we are. You know I'm not a fan of video pods. You know I'm not a fan of anything right now. Actually, I was trying to watch Lucy just to distract myself and didn't realize that within the first 5 minutes I was going to have to see the face of a douchebag Danish actor that I despise. So then I turned that off. I did the Aries reading and that helped a little bit. Smoke it if you got it. I think it helped because whenever I do an Aries reading, it's like really cathartic for me. The Aries reading is always what I don't want to hear about myself. It's difficult placements. You know, Mars, Venus, and Aries is difficult. That's why I bring it up so much, because it's not easy. But that's not what we're here to talk about. I'm avoiding it. When my brother and my sister-in-law got married, I learned something about Anu really quickly. She told me once when she realized that I was dating her cousin, she said, denial. I just deny things, Amber. I live in denial. And I remember thinking at the time, fuck, how does she function? I couldn't do that. I know she's a Libra. I know there's a certain amount of blindness that comes with being a Libra. You need to, you know, have those blinders on or else like you can't function in this very specific way that Libras want to function. But as a Gemini, I couldn't wrap my fucking head around it. And as a Vedic Taurus, I was like, oh, fuck this. Denial of what, bitch? I want to talk about shit right now. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a relationship. It doesn't matter if it's a friendship. It doesn't matter if it's family. It doesn't matter what the fuck it is. If something is going on, I want to talk about it right now. If that means we're staying awake all night, then we're staying awake all night. If that means that you're not going to work today or you're not going to school today, then you fucking not going to school today. Like, no, bro. We are talking about whatever needs to be talked about. So when she said that to me and she said, denial, Amber, I live in denial. I was like, how the fuck can somebody live in denial? Like what? Like I was OD judging her. OD judging her, right? Now, I look at Anu now and I'm like, yo, exactly. This bitch is wise. This bitch lives in denial because it's the only way to fucking survive. And I don't know how to do it. I know how to avoid shit, but I don't know how to live in denial. So what happens is I avoid shit until I can't avoid it anymore. And then it fucking hits me so fucking hard that it debilitates me. So what have I learned to do? I've learned to just avoid shit endlessly. I will distract myself. I will go do some stupid shit over here. I'll go do some stupid shit over here because I don't want to face this thing in front of me. But when, for one reason or another, I am forced to face it, something really great happens. Something really powerful happens. Something, you know, like for example, there's a lot of information, but this is exactly why I don't want to do video pods because it makes me open up more than I want to. But again, I know that we have to, so I'll stop complaining. For 10 fucking years, I avoided what my ex-husband did. For 10 fucking years, I was like, okay, he's still in love with me. He wants me here in Denmark. That's why he's doing what he's doing. He's keeping my child against his will, against my will. Cool. Like, I'm gonna avoid the part of this that is breaking my heart every minute of every day. Like, I don't think you guys realize this. When I started the channel, not only was I heartbroken, but this piece of shit took my kid to another country and, like, wouldn't let me see him. Like, when I started the channel, I didn't just have nothing. I had less than nothing. I was in the fucking negative, bro. I was in the minus and I was just denying it. Like, avoid, avoid. Yeah, okay, so I have to travel, you know, every 3 months. Cool, cool, cool. Yeah, I gotta pay for a house here, a house there, a car here, a thing there. Yeah, cool, cool, cool. I mean, like, I will do what I need to make this work so I don't have to face the reality of what's actually happening to me. And that way, hopefully, I get to cultivate a relationship with my child, cultivate a relationship, you know, in another country with other people, and like still have a life. When I stopped avoiding it was when I realized that if my son did not get to be around his real family, it was going to start affecting him. Like genuinely fucking his shit up. And then I stopped avoiding shit. Then I couldn't avoid it anymore. Then I had to be like, okay, we're going to court. Okay, I'm gonna fucking put you in jail if I need to. Okay, I'm gonna take this kid from right up under you if you want me to. If you want me to fight, I'll fight. I'm trying to avoid doing that. I avoided it for a decade. That's how good I am at, like, just keeping myself busy. Like, I'll just put myself in, because it's fucking codependency. It's your parents teach you this. Okay, this is the situation. Do what you need to in this situation. Proceed how you need to in this situation. But this is the situation you've been handed. There is no, you know, especially in like immigrant desi families, there is no moment where someone says, are you okay with this being the situation? What the fuck do you mean? This is what it is. I got a father that walked across a fucking border and lost more than half his family. I'm supposed to have like 7, 8 uncles. You see what I'm saying? Like, we don't have the luxury. We weren't raised. I wasn't raised with the luxury of this environment doesn't suit me. We need to change this. All I know how to do is adapt and keep going, right? So, that's what I do. I adapt. I keep going. Thank God I'm a Gemini, right? I adapt. And when I tell you, I have had to adapt and avoid so much when it comes to this issue. There was a point in my life when my parents were like, listen, we're going to take the TV away. We're gonna tell your teachers you can't talk about this. And I'm like, you can't live like this. We can't live like this. You can't keep getting worked up like this. But like, I have lost my ability to function over this shit a few times in my life. And what I really, and it was when I was really young. I was really young. And so like, I just couldn't. The thing that everybody's seeing now about what's happening to the kids, I was a kid when I found out about this stuff. That's the first thing that got to me. That's always been my issue with this. It's like, why are you shooting kids? Why are you paralyzing kids? Why do you shoot kids in their private parts? Why do you make them infertile? Why are you so mad at these kids? That's what struck me from the moment I heard about the Intifada. I was like, why is this so centered on children? Why are they so centered on killing women and children? Because what I've realized over the course of my life is that the Muslim womb, the Muslim woman's womb, is the most dangerous thing on earth to the prevailing powers that be and the system that's in place right now. The Muslim woman who bears a Muslim child is like enemy number one. And if you don't see that, if you honestly can't see that in all the footage and images that you're seeing, if it's lost on you that it's actually women and children that are being specifically targeted, it's because you're avoiding it. It's because you're doing what I've been doing, which is you don't want to see it. So what I do, my survival thing has been to avoid it for periods, go off and do something real stupid with a man, go over here and spend some money, go over here and figure out another way to make more money just to do it, and then go over here and look at it for a second again and say, okay, yeah, my heart is still breaking, nothing's changed, actually it's getting worse, let's go over here, let's do something stupid with a man. Let's go spend some money. Drink something. I'm recording it on Anchor as well, so you could hear it like as a podcast. And if you're thinking to yourself, like, damn, Umber, like, are you saying that this shit has been like your life has been revolving around? Yes! Yes, fucking yes. Thank you, Sister Judy. Thank you for fucking my head up when I was so young. Like, and I mean thank you. I'm crying, but like, I really genuinely mean thank you. Because yes, my life is a series. It can be looked at as a series of moments where I turned and looked at the truth, couldn't fucking handle it, and turned into something real fucking stupid because I don't know how to live like this. I haven't known how to live like this since I was a kid. I look around at people. And I have this Gerard Butler moment over and over again through my life. I know that sounds so silly. Gerard Butler moment is what I mean. I was like, I don't know. I liked 300, bro. Even though it was like, I was like, okay, this is what they're doing because they're going to go to war with the Muslim world and they want to make us look like demons, whatever, whatever. Like, still, I liked the movie. I liked the concept. I was like, okay, this is cool. Like, I'm feeling this. You know, I like warrior, you know, things. And then I found out that Gerard Butler was like super, super, super pro-Israeli. And I remember being like, damn. You're not a human being. You're literally a monster. If you had even a tenth of the information I've had since I was 12 years old, you would not be able to do this. So you must know all the things I know, and you're a fucking monster. You choose to still do that. Wow, you're a fucking monster. I've had that Gerard Butler moment my whole life. My parents took me on accident. They never did it again. They never made this mistake again. This man, he wanted my older brother to marry his daughter. Yeah, bucks any shit. He was a man who owned a TV station. He had like a news show. So before we went over there, my dad was like, listen, this man has a news show. He's going to want to talk politics. And I looked at my dad and I was like, and like everybody in my family, everybody that knows me, you guys, everybody knows. Everybody who's ever been around me for more than 5 seconds knows this is my fucking trigger. If you start talking some fucking bullshit, some Israeli fucking talking point, I will lose my fucking mind. And I'm smart enough to fucking destroy you. So don't do it. And so my dad looked at me, he goes, Umber, and I was like, what? What? I want to hear you fucking say it. I want to hear you have the fucking balls to tell me not to fucking say anything tonight. And he was like, okay, I'm not going to say anything. I was like, okay. So we go. We're sitting there. This piece of shit is trying to act like his daughter is too good for my brother or something. First of all, my brother's too good for all of y'all. So that's how I feel. So I was like, what the fuck is this motherfucker's problem? Meanwhile, your bitch is busted. This bitch looks like she's been ran over by a fucking truck. Okay, anyway. This man has the fucking audacity, because he thinks I'm a fucking Pakistani girl like his daughter, has the fucking audacity to ask me to my face what I think of the PLO. I was like, well, and I've been saying this since I was 10 years old. Since I was 10 years old, or 12 years old, I've been saying, when I grow up, I'm going to get a license plate that says Hezbollah. And people were like, are you, my dad was like, you will get arrested. You will not be allowed to get that as a license plate. I was like, why not? Why not? They're a freedom fighting force. Why the fuck not? Like, that's where I've been my whole life, okay? I literally was like, I'm going to get a Benz. I'm going to put a Hezbollah license plate on it. Like, no. I was there. I've been there, okay? This fucking man looks at me and is like, what do you think about the PLO? I was like, what? Yo, that entire dinner, whatever the fuck it was supposed to be, proposal, whatever the fuck it was, went so fucking left. Like, this man really fucking thought that he was gonna sit in his house and play news anchor with me because I was a young girl. I was a teenager. I think I was like 16, 17, something. I was like, sir, first of all, tell me you're not a Muslim without telling me you're not a Muslim. And he was like, I mean, I didn't say it like that, but I was like, you're not a Muslim. And he was like, you're not allowed to say you're not. And I was like, no, you're proving with your actions and your words that you are not part of this ummah. Listen to me. If you are not part of the family, if you are not in the family, you don't get to talk about the family. You don't get to have an opinion on the family. You're not part of this ummah. Get the fuck out. Fuck you. I don't want to hear a fucking word from you. Oh, well, the Egyptians. I was like, listen, don't compare yourself to a bunch of Arabs. I'm asking you about you. We are a nation of converts, reverts. We're Pakistanis. We used to be Hindu. We reverted to Islam. Don't fucking talk to me about what the fucking Arabs are doing over there with their indigenous religion and their indigenous people, whatever the fuck they got going on. I'm talking about you. Because, listen, I hold us to a much higher standard than I hold them. Because that religion came from them. That religion came from their culture. That religion was sent to them because of the shit they were doing at the time. And Allah was like, you have to fucking stop. You can't be like this anymore. Okay? Us, we're sitting on the other side of the fucking world, just like being a part of a decaying, dying religion. And we're like, okay, this shit seems hype. They invade us. They take us over. Things get better. Things are nice. We like this. We have more respect. Our women are more covered up. Blah, blah, blah. And we took to it. And we decided as a people. We decided individually that this was the religion for us. We were going to be a Muslim people. And then we decided that we were going to take all of those people and move the fuck away. So we could be by ourselves, okay? This comes from oppression. This comes from like a culture that now you see what's happening in India. Anyone who has ever questioned the existence of Pakistan, take 5 minutes and go look at what's happening in India right now. And you will understand completely why we needed to get the fuck out of there. You've got the second largest Muslim population in the world in India. And you have Indian foreign ministers saying that once a country reaches more than 20% Muslim, everything goes wrong in the country. You mean for central banks? Because we don't charge interest? You mean for lascivious activities? You mean for human trafficking and prostitution? What are you talking about exactly? Are you talking about all the shit that your country runs on? Because that's what it sounds like. Right? This is the mood I'm in. I don't give a fuck. That's why we're not supposed to do video podcasts. See, because as much as you would think that my mouth is more open when it's just the recording, no. When I can see myself, this Gemini, listen, I'm not even talking to you. I'm talking to my other twin because I don't know how to do this fucking video podcast shit. I don't know how to sit and pretend to talk. Every time I see a video podcast, I'm like, what are these people doing? Unless they're comedians. Because comedians are supposed to perform. If you're a comedian and you have a podcast, I'm watching it. Because you're actually doing what you're supposed to be doing. Normal people sitting around pretending to talk is so cringe because you're not a good actor. And you're making me uncomfortable. Unless you're political or a comedy person, you're acting on screen. If you're going to act on screen, go fucking join a play. Go fucking join a set. Go be on the movie set. Go fucking do something with that. Instead of fucking sitting around pretending to fake talk. So that's why I can't do this shit. That's why I'm talking to myself. I'm not even talking to you. Because I don't want to do this shit. Because it's bullshit. It's not real. I hate that shit. It's just my detector's too good. I'm too good of an actor to like tolerate the fucking cringe of people who don't know how to act. Or just get really good at acting. The first job I had in television, I said to the guy, I said, listen, Rippy, his name was Rippy. I said, listen, Rippy, I'm not an actor. I'm not a TV show host. I'm an actor. And he looked at me and he said, okay, well, act like a TV show host then. And I was like, boom, that's easy. Hi, I'm Amber. Like, either learn how to do it or don't fucking do it. So I don't want to learn how to do it. I don't want to learn how to pretend talk about things that are important to me. So I'm just going to fucking talk to myself. Over here, it's going to sound different. Because I'm talking to you, it's being recorded. But here, when you see me, you can tell I'm just talking to my fucking self, right? Okay, so smoke it if you got it. Now, all my life, I've had these moments of terror where I have realized from a child's brain to a teenager's brain to a fucking adult's brain to a mother's brain, okay? To now having a child who could potentially, if he wanted to, have a child. And I could, at this age, also be a grandmother. This is through the stages of my life, mashallah, I have had moments of pure panic and terror where I have realized that the person that I'm talking to, whether it be my own father, somebody else, a teacher, an actor, someone I looked up to, a thought leader, an author, and I have realized in that moment that they either don't have an opinion on the most monstrous thing that has happened in our lifetimes right now, because it's still happening, not because it's the most monstrous thing that's happened. Jesus Christ, Leopold killed how much of Africa? It's not that. It's that it's continuing. It's happening in front of our fucking eyes. That's what gets me. It's not that this conflict is so much worse than what happened in Angola. It's not so much worse than what's happening in Congo. It's not so much worse than what the French did in Algeria. My God, no, it's not that. It's that we're supposed to be better. We're supposed to evolve. We're supposed to have all this fucking technology and all these morals and all this money. And we're supposed to be better. That stuff is in the past because we weren't there then. That's the only way I can justify what happened in the past is because I wasn't around then. Since I've been able to speak and see and hear, all I've seen is like nuns fucking boycotting banks for being in business with South Africa. I've seen people fucking boycotting Israel for being like, we're supposed to be doing this, right? We're not supposed to be like those fucking chumps in history that we read about and we think, my God, were people just less human back then? Every time I've ever read anything about World War II, I'm like, yo, what the fuck was everybody doing? How could you be getting fucking news footage of starvation being used as a war tactic? How could you know that and not do anything and not say anything? Where were the people who were against the Nazis? Where were the people when St. Petersburg was under siege and they were starving them to death? Where were the people in the streets being like, you can't do this? Like, we put it all away and we say it's history and it happened back then and it only happened because, you know, we weren't there. Because we're stronger, we're smarter, we're richer, we're younger, we're better. If we had been there, that shit wouldn't have happened. Lies. Fucking lies. Because it's happening right now. That's what I mean when I say the worst thing that's happened. To me, the worst thing that can happen is something that can happen in with my agency included. I could be doing something, but I can't do anything. I can't do anything. What can I do? What can I do except scream and scream and scream and scream? And what do I get back for the screaming? What do I get back for facts? I'm telling you fucking facts. I'm not making anything up. I'm telling you facts. I'm showing you videos. What do I get for it? Apathy? You're looking at me blank? You're looking at me like I'm crazy? You're telling me, you know, my ex that I will never speak to again. Listen, this man has been a part of my life since I was very young. I will never speak to that man again. If that man wanted, he could come out tomorrow and make a statement. And it would actually make a difference. That's how, like, influential he is. No. No. Bro, when I told him that I wasn't going to speak to him anymore, I actually don't think he believed me. Because he nonstop called me for days. And I was like, yeah, I don't think you fucking get it, bro. Like, we're here now. We're here now. It's happening now. It's not a theoretical. Hey, you know what he said to me once? Hey, if you want to actually be successful, you're going to have to stop talking about this. What success? What success? What? Money? Okay. Power? What power do you have? What's your money worth? People are dying. You can't do a fucking thing about it. What was it for? What perceived power did we think we had? We don't have any. All these rich people, Elon Musk couldn't do shit. He said he was gonna turn on Starlink, and Israel was like, yo, you remember that whole Mossad, Jeffrey Epstein intelligence operation? Remember when you were fucking those little girls? You don't think we have that on camera, motherfucker? You wanna help Gaza? Go ahead. You see how that motherfucker shut the fuck up? The reason Epstein was arrested and released under Obama's administration and the reason the notes that were made in his file were made were because he was intelligence. That's it. It's not a big mystery. This whole like lore that has been like made up around Epstein. He's just intelligence. Of course they're gonna make it look like he fucked fucking hung himself and they're gonna put him somewhere else. He's intelligence. He's a fucking intelligence agent. That's it. That's how simple it is. They had 9 homes worth of servers on that island. 9 homes on the island that were not homes. They were just filled with servers. What do you think was on the fucking servers? Every fucking inch of that island, every fucking structure had cameras on it. They had cameras facing in the pools. They had cameras facing everything. They caught you doing whatever you were doing, wherever you were fucking doing it. Why do you think the UK won't say nothing right now? Why do you think that even though all of the UK is in the fucking streets, they won't say anything? Because they got Prince Andrew on fucking camera, bro. Do you want the fucking monarchy to dissolve tomorrow? Because that's what's going to happen if they call for a ceasefire. This is what's happening. There's only so much you can do without being underhanded when you are not on the side of right. You've got to do all this stuff. All these fucking machinations, all this nefarious shit, they've got to do this to keep people in their fucking pockets. There's no other way to keep people silent. There's no other way to let aggression go unchecked. You have to have something on people. And what they did with Epstein all these years, that was a Mossad CIA joint intel operation, bro. They got everybody. Anybody, because the thing is, you have to understand, social media and the internet created an entire new class of people who are powerful and rich that cannot be controlled in the way that the old money can be controlled. They're all controlled. All old money is controlled. They have no fucking freedom whatsoever, right? But this new money, the fucking Elon Musks and the fucking, you know, influencers of the world and the internet boomers and the tech guys and all the shit, the McAfees of the world, they can't be controlled in the same way. So they needed to actually create and implement an entirely new system of control for these people who cannot be controlled by their old money prestige and their traditions and their, well, to be quite honest, the, like, lack of funds, right? If you just take their money away, old money falls to pieces. Have you ever seen that fucking documentary, Grey Gardens? You don't know how many people I know like that. You don't know how many people I know where you walk into their house and you're like, what the fuck? It's filthy in here. What the fuck? Like, you were raised a billionaire. Why the fuck does this place look like this? Because they never cleaned a dish. They've never swept a floor. They've never... Old money is so dependent on their money because they are useless. They don't know how to do anything. If you put them in an environment where they don't have money and help, Grey Gardens. They had fucking raccoons living in it. They had to condemn the structure. The stench of Grey Gardens was so bad that the people in the Hamptons, in the town, they had to go and complain. That's old money. Old money will live in a house that stinks so fucking bad that you can smell it all over the town, but they won't clean up. So old money is very easy to control. New money, not so easy. However, new money, most of them are still men, and men seem to all have, men who are not aligned with their mothers, who have not had a proper upbringing, they just love fucking kids, apparently. The younger the girl, the better, if we're even talking about girls. Now, that was the easiest way to control new money, and they did a really good job. Smoke it if you got it, and drink something, please. So now, something that seemed like really like kind of weird and like, what timeline is this? What is this whole Epstein thing? Now put it in perspective of what's happening. Why would you spend years and years not just digging up dirt, but creating dirt? What would be the point? Why would you take someone like a royal, like Prince Andrew, and put him in a situation where he will be fucking young girls, underage girls? Why would you do that? Just to have it on him, right? But what are you anticipating? What are you looking for? What I'm trying to get to is that what is happening right now was always going to happen. I just made a TikTok about this. And the reason I haven't been making TikToks about this is because I know that if I start making TikToks about this, I'm gonna fucking go viral. And the last thing that I want is to go viral over this shit, because I don't think you see what's coming. The reason my head is all fucked up, by the way, I'm starting to feel a little bit better, and maybe this video thing isn't such a bad idea. The reason I'm so fucked up is because this is just the beginning. They want... Oh, the video stopped, so I'm just starting the video again. Sorry, podcast listeners. See how nice I am on the audio when I can't see my face? Okay, we're back. They're going to take Syria. They're going to take Lebanon. They're going to try. Yeah. They're already like decomposing the region because the entire Levant is what they want. And if we let them get away with this fucking Warsaw ghetto St. Petersburg shit that they're doing right now, this will be the tactic they use on the neighboring countries. They're testing your limits. They're trying to see just how much carnage they can get away with before you lose your taste for it. And they have been priming you for this carnage for almost 100 years. For almost 100 years, you have been told, whether it was your grandfather, your father, you, your mom, your teachers in school, you have been told in one way or another that Muslims are all crazy and we just hate Jews. Nobody will tell you why, by the way. Because from where I'm sitting, okay. Wouldn't it make more sense that Christians hated Jews than us? Because I've always wondered about this narrative. Like, just as long as I can remember, people have just been like, oh yeah, Muslims hate Jews. But like, wait. Because if you go back and read the Silk Road, the Muslims and Jews helped each other a lot, bro. They actually looked out for each other. They have very similar beliefs. If anything, shouldn't it be the Christians who should hate the Jews because of the whole like Jesus thing? I'm just saying, this Muslims hate Jews, this is it's a talking point. It's PR. It was created when the entire idea of this thing was created. Because you have to assign that madness to someone. You can't say, oh, the neighboring Muslim countries all despise the occupying colonial settler project that we put into place. Because if you said that, everyone would be like, well, yeah, of course they hate you. What are you doing? But if you say, actually, this is something that is deficient in them. Them as a people, as a race. And you've heard this many times in many ways, movies, TV, your friends, your family, everywhere. There's something kind of like off about these people and it has to do with their religion. And that's why they hate us. It's not us. We didn't do anything wrong. Their religion is somehow deficient. Like their religion is fucked up. And to be perfectly honest, they're, because they believe so deeply in a fucked up religion, like we could kill them. I'm just reiterating what Bill Maher does every Saturday night. For the record, fuck Bill Maher. Okay. He's like, the other day he was talking about, oh, I've never seen such rampant anti-Semitism. People in the streets marching. That's how much they hate Jews. Aren't you like old? Aren't you going to die soon? Like, haven't you been around long enough? Haven't you fucking tortured us with your presence long enough? I've never met a single person who had a nice thing to say about Bill Maher. Every single person I've ever met who has had anything to do with Bill Maher thinks he's a complete piece of shit. Dirt. I've actually had people call him dirt to my face. So, you make us look crazy. That foundation has been laid for what? 75 years? You make us seem deficient at a fundamental level. It's our religion. We're just fucked up. We believe something so fucked up. You actually vilify the religion to such a degree that nobody even takes the time to learn about it or to read about it. Because like, no, they're just fucked up. They're crazy. They're mad violent. Now, as you see occupation, as you see colonialism in real time, not back then, okay? As you see brutality and cruelty unfold in real time, you are also, we are also being vindicated when it comes to this narrative about our religion. Because you have been taught for almost 100 years that we are deficient, we are crazy, we are violent, we don't make sense. And what you're seeing is Muslims being put under the most horrendous conditions fucking possible in the modern world, and we are still none of those things. We have shown you in our worst moment that you were always wrong about us. And the cool thing about Muslims is that we'll let you be wrong. You see how I roll? I'll let you think whatever you want. You could think whatever the fuck you want. You could say whatever the fuck you want. Because I'm not looking to you. I don't give a fuck what you think. I don't give a fuck what you have to say. Bro, I have someone to answer to. At all times. Someone who's closer to me than my jugular vein. Bruh. I don't give a fuck what you think. I don't give a fuck where you're at. I don't give a fuck what you say. I have an authority under which I live, and that's it. Nothing else matters to me. Nothing else can matter to me. I live under complete and total authority of my creator. I don't have time, space, or the inclination to give a fuck what you think. I have a set of rules that are divine, that I live by. That is what is important to me. So for the past fucking almost 100 years, y'all have been running around thinking the most terrible shit about us. And we're like, okay. You still not going to come over here and take this oil. You still not going to come over here and fucking bully us. You still not, you could think whatever you want. You could vilify us. You could be like, oh, that's why, you see, this is why people think. Yeah, sure. No. And that's where now we are stuck. That's why all this cruelty, all this violence, this is why you have to target children. Because for 100 years, you have tried to target the religion. You have tried to, in many ways, make us ashamed of our religion. So we would do what others have done. So we would change our names. So we would dress like you. So we would start acting like you. So we would forget and do this thing that Europeans love to call integration. But we didn't. And we won't. Ever. Because what people don't realize about Islam is that it's not a religion, it's a lifestyle. And Islam makes that very clear. It's not about God and what he said and what you got to do. It's your whole life. It's your whole life. It's how you sit. It's how you stand. It's how you walk. It's how you talk. It's how you drink water, bro. We got rules about how we drink water. Can you believe that? Like, it doesn't matter how much you hate us. It doesn't matter how much you hold us up at airports. It doesn't matter how much you fucking lock us up in Gitmo and torture us. It doesn't matter how much you fucking bomb us into oblivion. If what you want is to break our faith, which is exactly what it's about, it's not gonna happen. I don't think we know how. I think that when you're in the presence of something like the Quran, like I always say this, truth sounds different. When I hear someone tell the truth, it's like a bell is rung. I could hear, it sounds like a different kind of bell. When someone's lying, I hear a bell too, but it's a different sound. When you are in the presence of truth, it gets your attention. It's a sound that makes you go, whoa, what was that? When you have been inundated with that truth, whether you were raised with it, born into it, reverted into it, once you have that truth inside you, it changes your eyes. You can't see things the same way anymore Because there is this seed of truth in you. You know it. You feel it. It's the difference between a narcissist telling you they love you and someone who truly loves you telling you they love you. You know, one sounds like manipulation and the other makes you strong. The other gives you wings. Islam is not about the rules, but the rules are important because they keep you in the mindset. Islam is about the mindset. And the mindset is this life means nothing. This is a fucking test. It is a prison for the believer. It is a fucking horror show. I hate this place. I can't sleep. My head just hurts all the time. I just keep thinking about all these people who don't have water. I can't fucking turn on my fucking tap. Every time I drink something, I feel guilty. I can't handle this. I can't let this happen while I'm alive. I don't know what to do, but I know I can't allow it. Because, you know, and it's our fault too, because all this time, maybe we were too aloof. That's the word people always use about me and my family when they see us out. They're like, my God, you guys are so aloof. Maybe, you know, because we're very Muslim. Don't give a fuck. Fuck you. But, like, maybe we've been too aloof. Maybe we should have tried harder to, like, make you guys, like, see us as human. Maybe we should have, like, I don't know. Because now we're literally at the point where we're fucking murdering kids. I don't know. It takes so much, bro. It takes so much to have a child. It takes so much. You know, the child's bones, they're made out of your bones. You give a part of yourself. Like, physically, your child's bones are made out of your fucking bones. Like, what are you doing? You killing people's fucking kids? I can't fucking handle it. I hate this fucking place, bro. I've never liked it here. This place has always seemed to me, ever since I was really little, like, I remember being 4 or 5 and being like, this seems like a cheap imitation of where I came from. I've always thought that this was, like, even the most glorious sunsets, the most, like, you know, amazing aurora. Like, I'm still, like, not impressed. Like, it all just seems like a cheap version of, like, where I've been, where things, like, the only way I can describe what I remember, never talked about this, not really, outside of writing classes, in writing classes, my writing teachers always know everything about me, because, like, how can you fucking hide? I wrote an essay about it once, and my professor in college is like, this is fucking phenomenal, like, how do you do this? So, basically, I wrote an essay about how, like, the best part of the movie for me is the beginning, where they show, like, the Pegasus running towards the camera and the TriStar one or the Olympia woman or the Paramount sign with the stars around the mountain. Like, it's so much more exciting for me. And I guess at the time I didn't have the words for it, but it built so much more serotonin in me than anything that happens in the movie. Because there's something so ethereal about the beginning, the studio, like, little things that come up. And they always kind of reminded me, like the woman, you know, with the thing. The clouds behind her, the steps in front of her. I remember so distinctly as a kid watching that and being like, that's it. Like, that's home. That's where I come from. That's, I've been there. I know where that is. I know where that is. I've seen that. And then, I don't know if this is going to make any sense to you, but when I was a kid, me and my older brother would sit on a ledge, on a 10-story ledge, very dangerous stuff, and smoke cigarettes. And way off in the distance, not really in the distance, turned out it was just New Jersey, were these two flashing lights. And it gave me the same energy. And then I read something in The Last Tycoon, which is a book that Fitzgerald never finished. And in it, he takes this starlet, or a woman who will one day become a starlet, for a drive through a sleepy, dark Hollywood Hills in a convertible. And somehow that had the same energy. It's all the same energy. It's this energy of like vastness and freedom and openness, and it's not here. This place is constrained by time in a way that is just fucking monstrous, and I don't like it. I don't like it. I think that's why I have a tendency to slow time down around me, because I don't like it. It's so fucking intrusive. It's like always like, you know, I think like the biggest cosmic joke is that I have an Aries mother. Like everything is like, I told her the other day, she asked me to do something. I said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. And I'm so sorry for saying it this way. But if you tell me to do something in that tone, I'm never gonna fucking do it. Like, I will go out of my fucking way to never do that fucking thing. And she was like, what is wrong with you? And I was like, I'm just mad that you haven't figured out in the 46 years that I've been alive, don't fucking talk to me like that. I'm not going to do what you fucking want if you fucking talk to me like that. Because it's this Aries, like, what she does is, like, she's not even just bossy. It's not about her being bossy. I can deal with my mother being bossy. Everyone's mother is bossy. I'm bossy as a mother. It's not that. It's time. She's always just, like, rushing, rushing, rushing. I hate that shit. But you know what? If I didn't have a mom who was so obsessed with time, I would probably freeze time altogether around me. And just live in like a fountain-like existence, because like I wouldn't have any concept of it. My dad doesn't really have a concept of time that way, right? But my mom is like, so I've never liked this place. I've always fucking hated this place. Even before I found out about what was going on over there. But like, the reason I'm approaching this the way it is, the way I'm approaching it, is because I feel like I need to qualify why I'm having a complete fucking meltdown. And it's because my fucking life has revolved around this fucking fear for so long. It's like I saw this coming from so far away that like, I think I'm in shock. I mean, I know I am. Physically, I know I was. I know I have PTSD. I've been fucking diagnosed. Like, I know it. I know what's happening. But my question is, like, how can you be here and not have PTSD? Bro, this place fucking sucks. Like, the only thing good about this place is nature, because nature is divine. And like, nature is God. And like, connections. It's like the feelings that you create with other people. And look what we're doing to this fucking perfect experiment. We're completely fucking it up because of free will. Because the thing that is not lost on me here is that God is suffering. Why are you doing this to God? Why are you doing this? God cannot intervene on your free will. Like, if they have free will just like everybody else. They have the free will to go and fucking kill and bomb those people. God is suffering. God is up there like, what are they doing? Like, But it's the covenant to us, right? That's the promise, is that you can do as you want. I won't stop you. And look what we've done. But you know what? Even though I can't fucking stand her, that Marina Abramovich piece that she did, it really is the, like, if you're wondering, like, do you really hate the dunya? Yeah, I fucking hate it here. I've never liked it here. Okay? I hate this place. The only thing that makes this place fucking tolerable for me is you guys, my dad, my kid, my brothers, my mom, my friends. Like, that's it. Everything here is fucking intolerable. And that Marina Abramovich piece that she did, it really will tell you exactly why I feel this way. So she did this piece where she's just like vulnerable. And there's all these things on the table. And it's performance art. And you could just come in, just a stranger off the street. And you could use any of the things on the table on her. And you could do whatever you wanted to her. The things that people did to her. What? Hate is not a strong enough word for how I feel about the fucking dunya. This fucking place. This is a prison. This is a prison. Because look at what we are being forced to watch. Look at what is happening. Look at what they're doing. Not just over there. Listen to me. Not just what they're doing over there. Look what they're doing to you. Look what they're doing to us. You got people not functioning at work. You got people not fucking paying attention on the road. You got people fucking crying in their cars on TikTok, fucking losing their fucking minds because we are all collectively being fucking traumatized. They're fucking bombing the shit out of all of us. Those of us who are not being actually bombed and under rubble are under fucking social media fucking rubble. We're having to watch all of this and at the same time be demonized by people who are like, why do you feel something? Kim Kardashian had a fucking Halloween party where there were hands coming out of rubble. Yo, one day, bro. One day. One day. One day. One day. Inshallah, one day. If not here, in the next one day. 10 minutes, a room, alone. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. She dressed her kid up like a fucking bloody child pulled out of rubble. And if you thought that was a reach, then she covered her front yard in rubble and had hands coming out of the rubble. The love of the dunya breeds this kind of cruelty and evil. The appreciation of this dunya breeds this kind of fucking cruelty and evil. Evil, straight up. No, there are no more questions. After I saw that kid in that bloody fucking soccer uniform, just like all those children being pulled out of the fucking rubble wearing the soccer fucking jerseys, and I said, evil. Evil. Then today I see on fucking YouTube that some short from their show where Kendall's like, oh yeah, the house was haunted. The house we used to live in was haunted. Bitch, what? That's... Are we just calling anything a haunting now? You mean you had jinns in your house? You mean y'all got jinns in your house? You mean y'all be praying to jinns and fucking sacrificing shit and doing all kinds of shit? You mean what? Wait, what did they say about Young Thug? They said that when they went to arrest Young Thug, he was in the middle of a goat sacrificing ceremony. They caught him in a goat sacrifice. Evil. That's what we're seeing. That's what you're so disturbed by. That's why I'm having a fucking breakdown. You're all having the Gerard Butler moment. Welcome. Welcome. But let's turn that around now, because now we're the 300. You know that, right? That's where this whole thing was going this whole time, but I needed to get all that other shit out of my system. Do you love watching how these twins jump on and off screen? Because I do. My piece of shit Virgo X, who's not actually a piece of shit, kind of he is, but you know. I once left him a series of voice notes and he was like, wow, it's crazy to hear these twins go back and forth. Anyway. you're all having that collective moment that I keep having in like cascades all through my life, which is like you meet someone or you see a group of people and then you ask them a very simple question, like, what do you think about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? And they say something back like, I'm a monster. I want to kill women and kids. And I want to steal land. And I want to make you look like a fucking asshole for doing it. And I want to lock up your men and your kids and torture them in prison. Do you know why Hamas was doing what they were doing? Because they got a hold of government documents that had a plan laid out for what would happen to Gaza in the coming 6 months. And they decided, if that happens and we haven't done anything, the morale in Gaza will be so low that they will fucking wipe us out. That's why they did what they did. As soon as they found that oil off the Gaza shore, it was a wrap, bro. You think Israel's gonna let Palestinians have oil? They won't let them have food and water. So, you're all waking up to the true evil in this world. You're seeing it firsthand. And you know what? I've never been able to explain it the way you're being shown it. And I have tried so hard. Facts, figures, fucking presentations. Are you kidding? Every school I've ever been in, after like the third year, they're like, let me guess, you're going to choose Israel-Palestine. That's right. Yes, I am. Didn't work. Didn't work. You're just a crazy Muslim girl, Umber. You're just getting worked up about stuff that's above your pay grade. It's politics, Umber. You don't understand. Do you guys understand now? You see it? You see what has been fucking happening this whole time? Do you see it? Up here. I'm not even talking about what's happening on the ground. Up here. Do you see it? Because they can say whatever they want about what's going on right now, but how can you excuse what's happening up here in that country? Drink something, please. What are they doing on TikTok? No, like, what are they actually doing? You see it now? This is the issue. The fact that all those South Africans converted to Judaism and went to Israel, this is the issue. The issue is apartheid. The issue remains apartheid. Until that issue is addressed, until that issue is fixed, this evil will continue and spread. Because that's what it is. Doesn't matter what religion it is. If you, the South Africans are Christian. If you believe that one group is better than the other, no matter what, you will fall prey to this evil. Because racism is evil. Evil. It is evil personified. To think that someone is less or more than you, depending on what is out here, is evil. Point blank. You know, we believe this as Muslims. We are the first egalitarian religion. But, okay. Now you see it. And now the heart breaks, the body shakes, the guilt overtakes. And it feels like there's nothing to be done. But that's not true. Welcome. It's been a little empty around here. You know, for a while it was just Han Solo and Chewie back here. But the absolute coolest part of your life is on the other side of what's happened and what is going to continue to happen until we stop it.
the dopest part of your life has yet to come. You are every movie you've ever watched. You are the resistance. Every hero journey you've ever been witness to or read about. You are him. We are them now. Not because we wanted to be. But what does he say in Dune? What did Duke Leto's father tell him? A great man does not want to lead. He's called to it. People don't want this. But you can't get away from it, can you? Can't sleep, can't eat. See it everywhere. This is what happens. When you finally become aware of injustice, this is what happens. This is what's supposed to happen. There is not a single Muslim elder that I have spoken to who has shown any concern for how I'm feeling. I'm like, I'm having a nervous breakdown. They're like, good. This is what a real heart would do. This is how a real heart should feel watching what's happening. I'm like, no, you don't. You're not understanding. I'm not doing okay. They're like, yeah, good. That's how you should be. Because that's, I'm like, okay. Noted. Noted, noted. My father said, I still remember the shade of blue of my shorts when they cut my brother's heads off in front of me as we were running to the border. We're still here. I was like, yo. He was like, what nervous breakdown? This is just beginning. And you know what? It's true. You have to eat, you have to sleep, you have to train, you have to lift weights, you have to save your money, you have to get right with your family. You gotta get right with the people in your life, bro. What's coming? How do I say it? You know how I'm always saying, like, nah, I'm not a psychic. No, I'm not a psychic. Like, you know? It's not like, because psychics, like, be real specific about shit, right? It's not like that. It's like waves of feeling. And I feel them coming from really far away. And what I feel coming is really bad. It's really bad. It's the kind of thing, is Terminator bad, bro? I've been watching Terminator. Like, I'm telling you, it's bad. It's, we will have entire generations raised in a resistance. It's bad. They're going to turn everywhere into Gaza. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I know that seems impossible right now. I know it sounds like I'm being hyperbolic, but you gotta fucking trust me on this. Precedents throughout history, they show us that once you acquiesce to a certain level of dehumanization and violence, it falls like dominoes. Yo, Hitler would have taken, the Nazis would rule the world right now if the Russians hadn't stopped them. Come on. Like, it took the Nazis starving a city of Russians almost to the brink of death and still not being able to beat them because it got too cold for them before the Russians starved to death to beat the Nazis. Because if that one thing hadn't happened, they would be in control right now. And everyone that looks like you, me, or anyone else that looks like us would be fucking gone or in a camp worked to death. Do you understand how close we have come in the past to being under global Nazi control? Try and understand what I'm saying to you. These are the same people. This is the same thing. These are the same tactics. These are the same precedents being set, just with a different minority. And it's not even a minority, son. It just happens to be a group of people that have an enormous amount of wealth that you really, really, really want. And on top of that, it's an ideological struggle. It's, you know, let's go simply by this. How dangerous do you think Islam is to central banks? We know that central banks run the world, right? I mean, that much you should know. Islam does not believe in interest. It is against our religion to charge interest. What does that do to central banking? What does that do to the world? Just that one thing. I'm not talking about the ethos. I'm not talking about, you know, not drinking alcohol. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. Chastity, modesty, fuck all that. That one thing that to us seems so small. Don't even think about it. That one thing would destroy modern life that they have set up for you. The scaffolding they have set up for you for modern life. The prison that they have put you in. It's a threat. It's a threat to the corruption that right now runs everything. And that corruption is finally showing itself. Because please do not look at what's happening over there and think, oh, look at what the Israelis are doing. Look at what the Israelis are doing. No, look at what America's doing. Look at what the UK is doing. Look at what France is doing. This is not happening because Israel just wants to do this. This is planned. This is a coalition of countries. You must be able to see that by now. Their plan collectively is to annihilate an entire race. And since I trace my fucking DNA back to the Levant, I've been getting really into that. Turns out those are the oldest people in the world. You are killing the oldest genetics in the world. Why would you do that? Why? What would be the point? Drink something. So, which one are you? Are you Luke? Are you Leia? Are you Kylo Ren that turns back into Ben? Hi, how you doing? That would be me. Are you Han? Are you Chewie? Are you R2-D2? Are you C-3PO? Because I hate to be the one to tell you, but if you're not in the resistance, you're not that girl. If you've noticed, everyone who is that girl is in the resistance. There is no other way to be. We're not doing this Nazi sympathizer shit. Because you remember what happened to the Nazi sympathizer girls? Those girls all got killed later. Remember? I'll give you a little life hack. Always stick with the oppressed. They have a way of sticking around. Because anyone trying to oppress you is usually a minority. And anyone being oppressed is usually a majority. Stick with the oppressed. They have a tendency to outlive whoever's trying to rule them. Just ask the Indians. Everyone has tried to rule India. India's still like, still here. Still Hindu. All right. You can't. You can't rule over a group of people. You can't oppress a group of people for too long. They reach a point of resistance that they can't turn back from. And we're there. And you've got to pick your costume and you've got to pick your character and you've got to get to work. And what that means, unfortunately for you, but fortunately for me, is that you get to walk into my world. Welcome to a world of screaming at the top of your fucking lungs, bloody murder, and nobody gives a fuck. But you got pictures and you got audio and you got video, so you're doing a lot better than I was. And hopefully you've got faith. Hopefully you've got religion. Hopefully you've got a steady, deep, daily connection with God. Because you're going to need it. And if you've started to fall apart, and this is what I realized a few days ago, and I'm feeling a lot better, alhamdulillah, even though, you know, still going through it, is that it was my lack of adherence to my faith that was causing this level of despair and weakness, because I have been in despair, and I don't think ever been in despair, not really. But that first night when they cut the internet and the lights, I felt like I was gonna die. I don't know how to describe it, but I don't need to. You know exactly how I feel. We are in this together. And we shall remain in this together. Because there is no fucking point of being on this prison planet and going out like a punk bitch. Because I think I've just now seen where the bars are. And I don't like them. And I don't like prisons, and I don't like bars, and I don't like cages. And now that I can see these fucking bars, you know I'm going to find a way out. I'm an escape artist. That's my thing. And if you let me, I'll find a way out. I think if I really think about it, said the Gemini, the way out is to give up on this false life, to stop having this kind of delusional expectation that life can be lived while ignoring atrocity and ignoring injustice, be it Congo, Sudan, like it doesn't matter where it is. This idea of like what I talked about in Bubble Death Machine, like that we can look away. If we can just not do that, I think that actually might be a way out of this prison. I think every one of these bars is made out of another product and another thing you're afraid to lose. I think this prison, I think the dunya prison, the bars of this prison are made out of all the vanities that we feel like we need and can't live without, the things that we have done to ourselves. I can't help but fucking turn into Tyler Durden. We're polishing the fucking brass on the Titanic, and I can't do it anymore. And I don't think you can either. And what is the fucking point of driving around fucking drinking Starbucks when you know what your actions are leading to? The blood is on our hands. And the only way to wipe that blood off now is to resist. We have to resist. We can't do this. We can't allow this. And I know I said it on Instagram, and I'm going to say it again here. Man, America's building big ass buildings over there in Israel right now. Big ass buildings. And they're going to fill them with people. They're going to train. And they're going to send them back here. I think what you need to realize and what will deeply ensconce you in the resistance is this. The U.S. is, for all political and financial purposes, a satellite of the Zionist state of Israel. This is a colony. We have been colonized. And we pay our dues to a murderous king. So, like good Americans, we have once again decided to have some tea, throw a party, not be fucked with by another treacherous monarchy somewhere far, far away that wants to behave like a fucking war death machine. We are susceptible to colonization because Americans are, as a whole, including myself, a simple people. We have a purity that very few have because we're kids. We're new. We're the new kid on the block. So it's easy to bully us. It's easy to get in our heads. It's easy to pay us off. We're kind of dumb. Innocent. And we have been completely overrun. And every dollar going over there right now should show you that. We are a colony once again, and we pay our dues, and they're going to make us pay more and more because they want it all, and they're going to use your money to get it, and then they're going to use your money to defend it, and they'll have to defend it forever because no one will ever forget. No one will ever forget. You know? I told you when Charles became king that as soon as a man sits on the throne of England, there is war. That throne drips with blood whenever a man sits on it. It has been so constrained for the past 30 years or so. But men and the United Kingdom have an interesting relationship. It's too much power for one man, is what I think. They don't know how to handle it. It's the reason that as long as Rome was a republic, it worked. But as soon as there was a Caesar, it didn't. It's too much power for one man. It's not possible to be just or to remain sane in that situation. And you may say, oh, he doesn't have a lot of power and he doesn't, but he does. Like right now, like the UK not calling for a ceasefire because his brother's a pedophile. It may not seem like direct control of the monarchy, but it is. So, we are the people at the harbor. We are Paul Revere. We are the resistance. And you know what? Since I have such an enormous disdain and hate for this place, it's kind of the only side of it that I can be on. How can you not? How can you look around now that you know? Now that you can see? How can you not? Is there any other way to be? A big part of that is dropping out of that rat race life. Whatever business that is, whatever you've been thinking about, get it going. Whatever you've been thinking about that would make you more self-sufficient, get it going. There's only so long this fight goes before they start squeezing our money because of it. We need financial independence, first and foremost. Work on that. Think about it. I'll be back. I hope this whole video podcasting thing isn't like a whole bust. I'm not going to watch it back. It's so embarrassing. I watch my videos, though. I watch the Gemini video every month. I'm like, oh, my God, no, she's right. I should do that. But, like, I'm not watching this back. This is, I don't know how I feel about this still. It was really cathartic for me. I loved it. But I also hate it. But maybe that's the way to be. Maybe that's, like, the only type of person you should trust on this, on these fucking platforms. Because the people that, like, love the camera... You know what I'm noticing about all the people that fucking love the camera, like really love the camera? Only the really cool people are hesitant in front of the camera. That's, I'll put it like that. People who are like in front of the camera, they scare the fucking life out of me. And every person I know that's like that is actually like a really bad person. But that's just my personal experience. I love you. See you. It's your girl, DJ Narc.